Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a very special impromptu edition of Living Loud Nation for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. I am your host, Rob Sternoff-Fuzzle, and for the next 30 to 45 minutes, I am going to go into, this is more like we're going to be a solo show unless someone calls in. If you are listening right now, you can call into the show at 347-989-1048. This is a more personable show, and when I say personable, I mean this is a personal particular broadcast that I thought that I never would in a million dreams. Sorry, let me got my words fumbled up. Maybe the gimmick, I don't know. I never thought in a million years that I would be broadcasting this particular topic on the show. And it's not to be a Debbie Downer, but it's something that needs to be addressed. It's something that I wanted to address last night, but CJ called in, and we got to talking about wrestling, and Jim called in, and that's how that show went. So I'm flying solo tonight. This is just me, Rob Sternoff-Fuzzle, and right now this is Robert Elsel speaking to you and not your charismatic known host. So that, with that being said, we're going to talk about CPS, Child Protective Services. We're going to talk about abortions. We're going to talk about unfit parents and how drugs play a role into the decisions that affect not only them, but their friends, family, and even the children or child that are involved. This particular broadcast is about three individuals, and for legal reasons, I won't use their real names, but we'll just call them Jason, Corey, and Frisco, their first names. I'm going to tell a little story about each individual and how they suffer from what I call bitchism. Bitchism is when a man or a woman who has had deep-rooted friendships that have lasted for more than a decade, turn their back on those particular friendships instead of being grown-ass men and women, to be civil, if you will, and tell the person that I don't want to fuck with you anymore because I got a possible significant other or somebody else I'm dating now, and I don't want to fuck with you anymore. But they don't have the balls to do that. What they do is they'll make up excuses such as, oh, I would hang out with you, or I would go shoot pool with you, oh, I would go to that rock show, oh, I'll go to the wrestling show, but I'm not into wrestling, oh, I'll do this and do that, but I got something else going, you know, I had to be with this person. And then the moment they stick their dick into a pussy, and this is a radar show, so you guys already know what time it is, the moment they stick their dick into a pussy and produce a child, instead of going through abortion so that you don't have the responsibility and knowing that you're on drugs, one person in particular, we'll get to in a moment, Frisco, knowing that you can barely wash your own ass, much less try to wash the ass of a child, you're not fit to be a good parent. Because grown men and women, in my estimation, do not forgive about those that love them and have supported them and have never done anything to fuck them over or stab them in the back. And these three individuals have stabbed me in the back. Now, the logical, rational thing to do is to say, fuck you. Although one of them has had the balls and tried to explain himself. And I'm talking about Jason. And we've never met. We've been friends for 21 years. Met him online. But the other two have no excuses. Plain no excuses. So let's talk about each person individually. And I'll try to be brief since I just wanted to kind of give you a backstory as to why I'm doing this podcast and why I'm talking about this very subject. Let's start with Corey. I've known Corey for, 17, 18 years, something like that. 18 years. He was a freshman and I was a senior. Had a couple classes together. And the moment Corey gets a piece of ass in his life, he says, fuck everybody. He'll talk to you every now and then, but trying to hang out with him, do anything, unless you're that son of a bitch Byron, who I've never liked, you know, rubbed me the wrong way a long time ago. Black dude who thinks he's white, somewhat intelligent, and my understanding is he has kids or a kid that he doesn't give a fuck about, and he doesn't pay child support or anything like that. That's the word around the campfire. Corey and Byron became best friends, and it was just a clusterfuck. What happened in March of 2012? Frisco was selling pot for many years. And he got busted with 14 pounds. And he needed roommates in order to pay rent and the other utilities and bills. At the time, Corey was living with his mom and dad. And I was living with my sister. And I got my income tax refund. Corey got his money. We rented a U-Haul. We moved our shit. And we moved in with Frisco. Everything was fine the first couple months. So Corey met this chick that he worked with named Christina. And at around the same time, a couple months later, I met my now ex-wife, Audrey. And Christina started staying there, not paying any rent, while me and Corey are paying rent. And it was like a complete clusterfuck. She fucked my printer up. She used my Wi-Fi because the internet service and all that stuff was in my name. I paid the deposit. I did all that stuff, whatever. And this son of a bitch basically used me. And the final straw came around November or December 2012. What happened was I changed the Wi-Fi code so that Christina couldn't get online. And then while I was at work, Corey said, fuck it, I'm moving out. And he moved out because he said he couldn't stand me anymore because I hurt his little girlfriend's feelings. Well, come to find out, yeah, we talked a couple times since then, but fucking, he ended up marrying the bitch and fucking having kids with him. And if you try to hang out with him or ask for a favor, it's always an excuse. And the excuse is using the children as scapegoats. I'm not as mad at Corey as I am with Frisco. And let's go ahead and just get into it. Frisco, I've known for 16 years. May of 2000s. Yeah, May of 2000. Frisco and I and Corey and Eddie Phelps and Chris Corcoran all met each other at a Blockbuster back when Blockbuster was around. They were all on Frisco's nuts because he had a 99 Civic with rims and shit and doing drugs and all that other shit. And I got his number and we stayed in touch. And here we are 16 and a half years later. Fast forward, and sometime in the early 2000s, you know, I kind of lost touch with him. You know, I tried to talk to him a couple times a year, but he ended up getting with some chick that was in prison. And he stayed with this chick. Her name is Vanessa. She is a pill-popping drug addict. She takes 2 milligrams of Xanax. She takes the 30 or 40 milligrams of Adderall. And she takes this shit like candy. She's been known to do other drugs such as heroin and cocaine and crack and meth. She's also been known to hang out with gay HIV-positive men who use pain patches, claiming that they have pain when they really don't. And she would do all these drugs and stuff. Well, when I was living with him the first time, and this is from March of 2012 until January 2013, I got prescribed a small dose of Xanax, and I put it in my safe. Well, I was watching a pay-per-view where I had my desktop hooked up in the other room, and I left my keys in my room, not thinking anything. She went through my safe and stole majority of my medication. And the Xanax was for my anxiety because I had panic attacks. Fast forward, me and my ex-wife split up in November 2014, and I needed a place to stay, so I moved in with him. And I had a prescription for Xanax, 90 was the quantity, and 1 milligram. I could take it 3 times a day because of all the stress and shit. Again, I went to use the bathroom, and I won't get into detail, but I was taking a dump. Left my keys, didn't think anything of it. She stole 70 of my Xanax and 50 of my hydrocodone. I take hydrocodone for my disability known as lower chronic back pain, and I take Xanax for my anxiety, panic attacks, and some depression. And I tried to call the Dallas Narcotics Unit. They didn't do shit. I moved out of there and stayed with my sister for about 11 months. This sorry motherfucker, Frisco, didn't do shit about it. He didn't kick her out. He didn't yell at her. And I never recovered the medication that I needed. And I'm not a pill-popping drug addict. I take medication. I'm straight edge to a point. Do I take benzodiazepines? Yes, I take one. Do I take them like I'm supposed to? Yes. So my thing is, at the time when all this happened, before this happened, she was giving blood every other day because she's a crack addict, drug addict piece of shit. And Vanessa Van Scotter, that's her name. I learned about this time last year, Frisco ended up getting her pregnant. Now, mind you, a couple years ago, back about 2011, 2012, he got her pregnant, and they had an abortion. And when they had that abortion, I was completely supportive about it because I knew that knowing Frisco, who now takes Adderall and Xanax the wrong way, and he takes it in a session, and he probably shares it with his girlfriend, his baby's mom, because now they have a kid. And, you know, he's been on to be a pothead, so when it's not as much the weed that's the problem. It's the fact that he'll take a Benadryl, he'll take marijuana and Xanax, probably in excess of 3 to 4 grams, milligrams, and get himself so blown up and fucked up, because this is your brain chemistry we're talking about. Okay? And it is undaunting, and it just blows my mind. Anytime that I want to hang out with him now, oh, I got the baby. Oh, no, I can't come over. I got the baby. And these are the types of people that use their children as scapegoats, as an excuse as to why they can't hang out with you. And it pisses me off. Now, what do? I have spammed. I have harassed. I have given these guys my peace of my mind, telling them exactly as a grown fucking man exactly how I feel and how this has affected me. And I've given them the opportunity to come on to the podcast last night as well as tonight. And not one of those sons of bitches even bothered. Even bothered to call or respond through text. Because they're fucking cowards. They think they're hot shit because they got good credit scores with a little money in their pocket. See, the thing is, if Corey needs money, he goes to his rich parents. Frisco needs money, he goes to his mom and makes over six figures. So, I'm sorry, but the money that he's making, Frisco, that is, and Vanessa's making, there's no way they can afford that house. I know what the deal is. His mom's paying for the house. She's got two houses in her name, and he may pay the utilities, and he might do the upkeep on that house. But the bottom line is, he's probably still slinging drugs, and that's fine. Just be a man about it. So what do, Rezzle Nation, Living Loud Nation? What do? I have tried over and over again to reconcile and get an understanding as to what I did to these motherfuckers in order for them to act like bitches. And they are going to be labeled bitchism. So the question becomes, do I continue to put myself through unnecessary stress and fucking anxiety over things that I can't control? Because obviously they've showed their ass, they've showed their face, and they're not true friends. Excuse me, I got a little cold, but it boggles my mind. I don't know. And I wanted to come on here to expose these frauds, the tyranny that is in their lives, and this course that's going on. And it's just, it blows my mind. It hurts me more than anything else that these people will do what they're doing, use their children, defenseless children, as scapegoats, instead of saying, Rob, I don't want to fuck with you because of X, Y, Z. Will it hurt if they said that? Yes. But I would respect them a hell of a lot more if they would just come out as grown fucking men and just fucking say that. You know, the other person, Jason, he's got a good job, he's got a good life, he's got a good wife, he's got a good kid. Maybe I need to lay off him a little bit because the truth is I do fuck with him all the time. And Jason, if you're listening to this, I apologize. I'm sorry. I love you to death, bro. I love Corey and I love Frisco. No homo, but it hurts. It really hurts. And I've got to make a decision that do I continue to try to get them to, as my old man would say, straighten up and fly right, or do I just let this go and let them move on with their lives so I can move on with my life? So I think that that's the best thing for me to do, is to try one more time to talk to them. And if they still don't respond after that, then say, well, you know what? It's been a good ride. Have a nice life. When you get your head out of your ass or out of your fucking wife or baby mama's nasty ass pussies, then call me. And then I might consider letting you be part of my life at that point. I just need to get this off my chest because, again, you can call it bitching, you can call it what you will, but the facts are the facts. I've never stolen from anyone. I've never fucked any one of these guys over. And because they get a woman, married or not, and have children with them, they decide to fuck me over for no fucking reason. And they use the child as a scapegoat as to why they can't hang out. Instead of just saying, I don't want to fuck with you, Rob. I don't like you, Rob. And here's the reason why. They can't do that because they don't have the fucking balls to do it. So, with that being said, I was going to go a little further, a little more, but I think I pretty much made my point. This has been about a good 22, 23 minutes of podcast. We'll be back probably maybe later this week, maybe over the weekend, but definitely next Tuesday. Hopefully I will be able to go to WWE TLC here in Dallas this Sunday, and then probably do a post show after that and give my thoughts and predictions moving forward from the WWE SmackDown brand. With that being said, for Jim Davis, CJ Brookman, and Eric Brown, I am Rob Spinoff, also Robert Ozzel. Thank you for your role, and this has been Living Loud Nation. Take care.